Please turn with me in your Bibles to the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, reading verses 35 through 45, the remainder of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. It is our custom to take a break from our morning series when we come to the celebration of the Lord's Supper, but this passage which is before us today, the cleansing of the leper, is so appropriate to our communion season that it seemed right, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to continue our series this morning and to apply it to the table that is before us today. The title of our series is The Good News We Gossip, The Gospel According to Mark. And this sermon is titled Jesus Galilean Ministry Celebrating Wrongly the Curing of Our Leprosy. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. The Lord bless this reading of his word. Our dear friend J.C. Ryle says that in all the gospel history, there are but two full accounts of the healing of lepers. And the first is found here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. It's also found, the same event is found in Matthew, chapter 8, and also Luke's Gospel, and chapter 5. And then the second account is found in Luke 17. And we'll consider the first of these accounts this morning, and then, God willing, again this evening, the second in Luke 17. The first account reminds us of the importance of following faith with obedience. And the account that we'll look at this evening tells us of the importance of following faith with gratitude. Felt that on this Communion Sunday it would be fitting for us to consider together these two accounts of the healing of lepers. Although the Bible is essential for teaching us spiritual truths, what's also amazing about the Bible is not simply the detail that it includes, but also the detail that it omits. We find that there are certain things omitted with regard to this account of the healing of the leper. First of all, we're not exactly sure where the healing happened. Mark omits all reference to the place, although it appears from the way in which he has constructed his gospel account that it happened somewhere between Capernaum, which he leaves because of the crowds, and his return to Capernaum at a later point. If you compare then this account with what we find in Matthew chapter 8, we find that this healing occurs as he's on the way down the Mount of Beatitudes, having given the Sermon on the Mount. And then Luke, in Luke chapter 5, says that it happens in a city. Well, I dare to say that these accounts can be harmonized, depending on the perspective from which the author in view is writing. One thing is certain, that great crowds were surrounding the Lord Jesus, and that, in fact, may give some explanation for the different accounts of where this healing happened. And so it happens somewhere between coming down the mountain and being in the city. We're not sure exactly where. It may have been in Capernaum, it may not have been. But the point is this: whenever the Bible omits information, it omits it for a reason. And it's quite frankly far more easy to speak on those passages sometimes in which detail is omitted, because that means that we can apply it in any circumstances. And so I want to say to you this morning, wherever you are found, that this healing of the leper is relevant to you. You do not have to be in Galilee. You do not have to be in Capernaum. You do not have to be coming down the Mount of Beatitudes. It's applicable to you as also to me. And then the second thing we don't know to whom this healing happened. We're not given the name of the leper. In all the crowds that are mingling around the Lord Jesus, one thing is clear, that Jesus never loses sight of the importance of the individual person, no matter how many are gathered around him, no matter how many are thronging upon him for healing or for help of one sort and another. And so this leper, as it were, steps out of the crowd, and he has an encounter with Jesus demonstrating the importance of the individual to Christ, even though Christ is surrounded by many people. We don't know his name, and that means, in a sense, that we can append our own name to the leper, for the story is relevant to us all in one way or another. And we can be mindful that for all the thousands and millions of people gathered around the world today in worship of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that each one of God's people is meaningful to him. And our healing and our cleansing means much to him. But what we do know then is of the leper's earnestness in the first place, his healing in the second, his responsibility in the third, and his disobedience in the fourth place. First of all, then, from verse 40, the leper's earnestness. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." This poor man has a disease which is incurable. My mind goes back to Sunday school many years ago in the corner of Wales, in which I grew up, seeing photographs of young children on a notice board who were inflicted with leprosy. And we used to have our little collections for people who are suffering with leprosy. It was an awful disease, and it affects the whole man, the whole person, attacking not only the skin, but the blood, the flesh, and the bones. And it's a bit gory. We don't like to think about it, but this disease would eat away at the extremities so that somebody would be maimed inch by inch. And so it's natural then for us to understand the earnestness of this leper who comes to Jesus. But specifically in verse 40 here, we see his earnestness in his action and in his words. Notice then his action in the first part of verse 40. According to the law, recorded for us in Leviticus chapter 13, this leper would have been declared unclean by a priest, and therefore he could not mingle. His freedom was taken away from him, in order that the safety, the health safety of the community at large would be protected. And you can read of that in Luke 13, 45 through 46. Let me read it for you. "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." And yet here the leper breaks the exclusion, as it were, and he comes to Jesus. And what do we find? Well, we find him imploring Jesus, kneeling before Jesus, and then speaking to Jesus. It's interesting that it is his sense of need, his sense of dependence upon Jesus, which causes him to break the law and to come to Jesus and to come to him for healing. And we may be wondering this morning, well, how could Jesus heal a man who's just broken the law? Well, I want to say to you that it's specifically for lawbreakers that Jesus has come. Specifically for lawbreakers, those who are in the midst of the leprosy of sin, that Jesus comes and he positions himself in the circumference of such so that we may come to him. In other words, the law is not intended to keep us from healing, but the law is given to us to remind us of the fact that we need healing. And so when the healer comes to us, what do? We go to the healer. That's the logic of the need of this man, and it's the logic, or should be the logic, of every person who's been smitten by the leprosy of sin. For we remember then under the old covenant that while there was leprosy, leprosy was also symbolic of the need that we all have of being healed of an incurable disease, healed of a disease that affects the whole man, that eats away at us from the extremities, inch by inch, and brings us ultimately to the grave. The law of God then was not intended to keep us from Christ, the great healer. But the law that we've read this morning was read specifically so that if we have not come to Christ already, we might do so. The law was given so that we might see our wretchedness in the sight of God's righteousness on the one hand, and against the contrast of God's righteousness, we see our unholiness. And it is in that contrast then, the dynamics of that contrast, that we say, where is the healer who can help me in my incurable and smitten state? And this leper got it. And so I put it to you this morning, if you were saying, well, Jesus shouldn't have healed this leper because he broke the law, he should be punished all the more, then yours is not a religion of grace, yours is a religion of self-righteousness. A religion of grace says this: well, of course the leper broke the law, the letter of the law, because he understood the spirit of the law, and he came to the healer, the one who is the ultimate priest, and he comes asking for healing so that he may be excluded no more. And so we see his earnestness from his actions, but then in the second half of verse 40, from his words, if you will, you can make me clean. It's interesting what the leper omits. He omits reference to the name of Jesus. We've already seen from verse 24 that the demon who inhabits the man with the unclean spirit there in verse 24 knows the name of the healer, Jesus of Nazareth, but this leper doesn't seem to know the name. Nevertheless, he knows that the one to whom he's coming has the power to heal, the capacity to heal. So I want to say to you this morning, if you do not know much about the person of Jesus, that's not really that relevant right now. What is relevant is that you know that it is to him you must go if you would be healed, if you would be cleansed. Jesus is more interested that you come to him than that you're over here collecting some body of information about Jesus so you can read off Jesus' resume, but you've never actually been to him. And so this leper, we can learn from that although he does not know the name of Jesus, or so it seems, he comes to him and he comes to the right place. Notice by contrast, then, what the leper understands. The leper understands that he needs more than physical healing. He needs cleansing. It's interesting, isn't it, that when he calls out to Jesus, he says, if you will, you can make me whole. You can restore my physical beauty. You can bring back my extremities. You can bring healing to my skin, to my blood, to my whole system. That's not what he says. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. He understands then the Hebrew scriptures, namely that under the old covenant, God's people were taught that sin is as leprosy. And you can go through the whole of life, a physically robust specimen, and yet be rotting away with a leprosy that is worse than a physical leprosy, and we call that sin. Only those on the way to a genuine conversion appreciate the gravity of sin on the one hand, and that it is to Jesus we go for cleansing. But I want to say to you this morning, if you are unable to come to this table, there is no cleansing for you unless you come to Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you can come to the Lord's table or not. What really matters is whether you have been to Jesus. And you understand that your greatest needs are not physical, they're not emotional, they are spiritual. And you may never see a leper. You may never witness the awful physical condition of a leper. And yet God, from his divine perspective, has included in the word these stories so that we might know that there is a leprosy which is beyond the physical, and that is the spiritual. And that if we would be cleansed, then we must understand our condition. That it is a cleansing that we need, and it is a Christ to whom we must go. The leper's earnestness. But then secondly, verses 41 and 42, the leper's healing. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." Despite breaking the letter of the law, Jesus sees the spirit of the law being upheld, and thus the healing which ensues results from the will and authority of the Lord. What wonderful words the Lord gives to this leper. "I will be clean." Notice the will then of the Lord. The words "I will" are the climax of Jesus' entire response to this leper. Notice how verse 41 begins. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. That's before the healing. And said to him, "I will be clean." Oh, what a joy it is to know that the Lord Jesus is moved with pity towards this man. And he stretches out his hand and touches the leper. In effect, he enters into the leper's experience precisely to bring him out of that experience. I want to say to you, if you've never been to Christ because you're afraid of how you will be received by Christ, then take these words to heart. Have you ever come to Jesus and said, "If you will, you can make me clean"? And that is exactly the prayer that the Lord Jesus calls us to make. For he stands ready to say, "I will be clean." And so I want to say to you this morning, if you have never been to Jesus and therefore cannot come to the table, that the problem is not with the election of God. It's in the heart of man. The problem is that you have never come, for the promise is there that all those who come unto God through Jesus Christ, he will never, never cast out. So I say to you, if you are burdened with your sin, you wonder what reception you will get if you come to God through Christ. Well, here's the answer. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him. "I will be clean." And so then there's not only the will of the Lord, but the authority of the Lord. Jesus concurs with the leper that while his physical healing is desirable, spiritual healing is of uttermost importance. Jesus does not belong to the structure of the priesthood. Nevertheless, he reveals that he has the authority of the ultimate priest. And so Jesus grants this man definitive cleansing. Restorative cleansing belongs to those who know that they are forgiven and yet fall into sin again and need to be restored. But this man receives this definitive once and for all cleansing. I want to ask you this morning, do you know that? For this table is open to all those who know this cleansing. To those who have sensed the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have known that touch upon their souls, and have known that they are in that definitive sense cleansed, forgiven, pardoned, belonging to the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, then, the leper's responsibility, verses 43 and 44. And Jesus sternly charged him, sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." The one thing Jesus requires of those who are healed is obedience. And when we look here in verses 43 and 44 at this whole notion, we find that the obedience must be personal on the one hand and legal on the other. Personal obedience, then, Jesus teaches as no light thing. Notice the way in which his whole demeanor changes. On the one hand, he is moved with pity and compassion for this leper. He reaches out and touches him. And he heals the man on the basis of his faith that he can be healed. But then once he is healed, Jesus turns to him and expects obedience of him. He sternly charges him and sends him away at once, saying, "See that you must say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest." In other words, obedience for Jesus is not an option. It's not an optional extra. Some are Christians but happen to be disobedient, and some are Christians and they are obedient. That's not the picture here. The expectation is that if we are believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for our healing, for our cleansing, then we will be obedient. And so Jesus sternly charges him. He directs him. He says, in effect, "Make sure you say nothing to anyone." And then he sends him away. Why does he send him away? Because Jesus, as the ultimate law keeper, knows that the law must be upheld. This man must be pronounced cleansed and healed by the priest, and therefore he can then enter in to society once more. Obedience is paramount, for Jesus is not only Savior, but he is also Lord. Says the 19th century Scottish churchman Thomas Chalmers, "Faith is the starting post of obedience." And so we have been commanded by the Lord Jesus, have we not, to come to the table. The table is open to all those who are believing and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ for healing. And Jesus himself has said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In other words, he gives a directive. He expects obedience from those who are believing and trusting in him for healing and for cleansing. We sing, don't we, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And so I say to you, not so much now whether you have come to faith or not, but I'm asking you, if you've come to faith, have you professed your faith? Have you received admittance to the Lord's table? Are you fulfilling the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to do this in remembrance of me? Our obedience must be personal. Faith is the starting point of obedience. And therefore, if you know your sins forgiven, you belong at the table. You are commanded, you are directed by the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to remember him. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your wishes. It's about fulfilling the will of Christ, whom you say has died for you, shed his blood for you, expired upon the cross for you. So we find then that his obedience is not simply personal, but it's also legal. The leper must go and show himself to the priest. The law is not kept for the salvation of this leper, but in gratitude for it. And what needs to happen? Well, the man must stand before the priest. The priest must examine him. And then the priest must pronounce that he is cleansed, that he is healed. And then the leper can rejoin society. He can come back in. He is no longer excluded. And what do we learn from that? Well, we learn from that that while faith is a personal matter, and we live in days of great individualism where it's all about me and my faith, but it is a misappropriation of Scripture if we say, well, you see, it doesn't matter about the Lord's table. It doesn't matter about where I am in the community of God's people, because it's all about me and my faith. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the balance of Scripture. The balance of Scripture is this. Yes, faith is a personal encounter with the living God. Nobody can believe for you. Nobody can repent for you. But once a person believes, we believe in community. And so once we do believe in the Savior, then there are implications for the way in which we relate to the community. And so Jesus is saying, go to the priest. He can pronounce you cleansed, and once you are cleansed, you can come back in from the margins of society, and you can be received as one who is cleansed. And I have to say to you, if you are claiming this morning that you know your sins forgiven, that you are believing and resting in Jesus Christ for salvation, that you have turned from your sins unto the living God, but you won't come to the table of the Lord, then there are serious ramifications with regard to that. Because Jesus says the person who believes individually will then connect with the body. And what does it say then of somebody who says their sins are forgiven but is content to live on the fringes, the margins, when God, through Christ, is an inclusive God who brings people together through the gospel of his Son? If you say, dear friend, trust brother or sister, I know my sins forgiven, then it is the command of the Lord Jesus that you come to the table. And maybe we have treated it as too light a thing for people to profess that they know their sins forgiven, but to live month and month, communion after communion, outside of participation in the Lord's Supper. Jesus sternly charged him. Don't tell anything to anybody, but go to the priest and let him pronounce you cleansed. Come in from the margins. And that's what the Word of God is saying to you this morning. If you know your sins forgiven, you have no business living on the margins of the Church of Jesus Christ. If you're unconverted, the leprosy remains yours. Come to Christ. But if you're backslidden, living in willful sin, come to Christ for that restorative forgiveness. But if you know that you are converted but you just don't come, then it's time to learn obedience. And so, fourthly then, we notice the leper's disobedience in verse 45. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out of desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Notice what the disobedience underlines, verse 45, the first words. It underlines the fact that none of us are worthy. The man has been cleansed, the man has been forgiven, but he rankly disobeys the Savior. And it reminds us then, doesn't it, that our salvation, our healing, our cleansing is all of grace. We may have some sympathy for the man. After all, he's thrilled that he's healed. But what's he doing? He's putting his emotions and what the healing means for him above what the healing is intended to do for our Lord. As one writer has put it, love without obedience is a satanic substitute for God's plan. I do believe that this man loved the Lord, and that's why he thinks he will go the better path. He has more wisdom than the Lord, and so he will spread abroad the fame of Jesus, contradicting the will of the Lord at that point. But I do believe it was done out of love, but it was still a disobedience, a misguided love. And so, as former lepers, we are not called to understand everything about what the will of the Lord is for us, but we are called to do everything he commands us, whether we understand it or not. And so, with regard to the leper's disobedience, we find not only what it underlines, our unworthiness, but also what it affects. Likely the charge was given so that Jesus could fulfill his ministry according to his Father's agenda, but by ignoring the Lord's will, the leper impeded the work of the kingdom. And so instead of going quietly about his work within the towns, Jesus has to retreat to the desert, and all the crowds come out to meet him so that he will work healing and cleansing in their lives. But you see, Jesus is operating according to the Father's will, and he wants this healed or cleansed leper to operate according to his will. And so I want to say to you this morning that if you know your sins forgiven but are not living in obedience to the will of your Savior, you are in some measure impeding the work of the kingdom. You may have your private reasons as to why you won't come to the Lord's table, and you can stack up those reasons And one communion can come and go, and another can come and go, and those reasons are there piled up. But it is the plan of God that you should come to the table. And let me say this from an angle that perhaps you may not have thought of before. The joy you are robbing brothers and sisters in Christ by your not coming. The witness you are robbing our Lord and Savior by not coming. And you are robbing your own soul by not receiving in faith an ordinance that was given that your own faith may be strengthened, your own walk may be shored up, so that you might go into this world strong in the power of the Lord. And so as we close then, on this Communion Sunday, we apply the healing of the leper to four categories of person here this morning. I want to speak first of all to those who cannot come to the table, to those who have never kneeled before the Savior, to those who have never implored the Savior, if you will, you can make me clean. And I say to you, don't depart from our service here simply because you don't come to the table, but you use this time to come to God through Christ and say, if you will, you can make me clean. And you will find this, that all those who sincerely come with that prayer, they will be healed, they will be cleansed. Because God himself has promised through Christ that all those who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. And then secondly, to those who can come but don't. You are cleansed, you know that in your own souls, but not obedient. Several reasons may explain this want of obedience. First, a want of authenticity that perhaps you've never actually been converted after all. And therefore you don't belong at the table. You need cleansing. A want of maturity. You've been genuinely cleansed, but are yet to learn obedience in the school of Christ. A want of knowledge. You've never considered how much your disobedience is holding back the work of Christ. And then thirdly, to those who used to come to the table but do not come now. Perhaps you have received a letter from the elders asking you to stay away. Because according to the words of our liturgy, or you can see from the words of the Heidelberg Catechism in our bulletin this morning, you are living in willful sin, so it would be a mockery for you to come. And you remember a day when you came to God through Christ and you said, I will. If you will, you can make me clean. And you knew that definitive cleansing, what we call conversion. But now you need restorative forgiveness and you need to come afresh. And you need to confess what's gone wrong, what's gone awry. Why you're coming to the table as you are would be a mockery. And so you need to come again to God and say, if you will, you can make me clean. I want to say to you that the eldership would love to see those who once could participate coming back to the table in repentance and in fresh faith that Christ and Christ alone is our righteousness. And then fourthly, to those who can come. We come not on our own merits, we come on the merits of Christ and by his enabling. And what do we come to do? We come to celebrate. We're not here to deny that once we were lepers. We're here to embrace the fact that once we were lepers. But we have been healed and cleansed lepers. And we see in the bread the broken body of the Lord Jesus. And we see in the wine the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And we're not ashamed of the fact that once we were lepers. And we're not playing down or dumbing down that once we were lepers. But we are playing up what it means to be Christ's and to say, this is my Savior. He is the one who has restored my life and my soul. And I come desiring that God may be glorified in my participation. And I come that I may receive fresh stores of grace to remain obedient to his will. I don't understand any more than you do everything that God commands of his people to do. But we are learning as we draw from God the strength that we need to understand that obedience is ours, whether we understand all the will of God or not. And we know this, that we love the one who cleansed us, who gave his life for our cleansing. And so whether we understand everything or not, we say we are going to obey our Savior, for he is also our Lord. And in our participation, we express our great love for God through Christ Jesus. Do this, brother and sister, in remembrance of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word and for the way in which this healing has been retained in your word. And we bless you, O God, for its lessons, many as they are. Pray, Father, that each one of us would know this cleansing, but that faith would be followed up by obedience, and that our lives would glorify you and honor you more and more. We thank you then for the means that you've given to us. Thank you for the ministry of your word, for ordaining that. But you've also ordained that we should remember the Lord Jesus in participating in the Lord's Supper. We pray, Father, for those who cannot come. We pray for those who will not come. We pray for those who used to come. We pray for those who do come, that you would be ministering in these moments by your Spirit and all for your glory's sake. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.